Morning, you heard a message out of Ezra. Come back next Sunday morning, and we'll be taking up again in Ezra. We find all kinds of things going on in church. I've always interested to see what happens to people's lives. There's different kinds of people in church, and every day we find these. In our scripture tonight, in Matthew chapter 13, we see four kinds of people in church. Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched and became, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground, and they yielded a crop, a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, right here in our midst tonight, we have all four kinds of soil. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts, that we might see clearly what you'd have in store for us. We give you all praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Jesus is the greatest sower of the seed. He says the sower is anyone who spreads the gospel of the Word of God with others. And he being the greatest himself, but we're followed by, he's followed by the witnesses, his disciples. He's followed by the church. Each one of us tonight should be sowing the Word of God to others that are out there in the world. As Christ is our leader, and we are to follow his example. He is our example. He's our object of who we are to witness of. Just simply telling others about Jesus Christ in our life. And I wonder each week, are we getting the word out? Are we telling others about the joy that he gives, about the change that takes a place in our life? You see, many people rejected the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say all the time, "Well, I'm wondering if anybody will reject me when I go out and witness." And I say, "Yeah, they'll reject you. They'll reject the message because they rejected it when Christ preached it." But if we sow the truth, if we sow the truth of the word truthfully, and we go out having prayed prayerfully about who we're to sow the seed with, and lovingly, in a spirit of love, then the Bible tells us that when we sow the seed and people reject us, then the blood of their blood is not on our hands. We've done exactly what God has asked us to do. So we ought not be fearful about sharing the Word of God. It ought to come naturally when we tell people. Someone said, I'm not in sales, but I'm in advertising. Everywhere I go, I'm an advertisement for Jesus Christ. I'm an advertisement for Jesus and his love, his attitude as I speak to others. The priorities of our life ought to speak Jesus Christ. You see, I thank God that you had a priority tonight to come back to church. You made it a priority. Some did not. Some are like the soil that the seed is sown on. But you know, we need to communicate the love of God to the world. Now, we are a sower, the Bible says. And then there's the seed. The seed is naturally the Word of God, the whole Bible, the whole proclamation of the Word of God. The person and the work of Jesus Christ is what we are to speak about in our lives through the work that we have. when God became man, he lived a sinless life. We're to share that with people. We talked about his crucifixion. We're to share that. What he came for, we're to share that. The resurrection, the ascension, and the return of Jesus Christ. All of these things we are to share with other people as we go our way day in and day out. And the invitation that Christ has is to all people. Everyone is to repent and turn from the sin and turn to Christ. That is a simple message that we are to share in the Word of God. When Peter, I think about Peter, after his failures, after his denying Christ, after Christ came to him on the seashore, after he, recommissioned him, touched his life by saying, "Peter, I know you love me, feed my sheep." After he gave him that, he spoke on the day of Pentecost. Now, like the song Linda sang a while ago, Jesus changed our life. God's word was spoken to Peter, and that day on Pentecost, Peter spoke, the Bible says, and 3,000 souls were saved. You see, what made the difference in his life was Jesus Christ, was real to him at that time, something very precious to him. And the sad fact of the day, we look at our churches today, 95% of church members never attempt to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? When we know that people are lost, when we know that people are dying and going off to eternity without Jesus Christ, and we fail to share with them the love of Jesus Christ, it's a sad thing in our churches. And Paul says, preach the truth. Tell them about the Word of God. And he says, preach it in love. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, what really makes that seed, as we, if you know anything about planting seeds and gardening, that germination takes love. It takes water. Well, if we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the love of God, it will bloom, it will blossom, it will grow. Love requires a relationship. Now, let me tell you something. I am no gardener. I can kill more things accidentally than most people can kill on purpose. I go out and I plant tomatoes. They die. This is the first year that actually they ever lived. And I think my wife had her hand in it. But you know, I plant something, but you know what? You've got to water it, don't you? You've got to take care of it. You've got to put something into it. You just can't go out there and stick it in the ground and expect it to live. It just don't work that way. At least not in my case. I know Doc here, she's got a green thumb, everything she plants down there. But let me tell you something about her. I can come by there early in the morning or late at night many times, and she's out there working in that yard, planting those flowers, cleaning out those flower beds. And I'm thinking, man, that's a priority. She really works that. That's the reason she has such a beautiful yard. And that's the reason mine's dead half the time. But you know what? Anything worthwhile is worth putting something into it, isn't it? And if we're ever going to grow a church, if we're ever going to see people saved, you have to love. You have to put that relationship there, that bond there, friendship, and that fellowship. You've got to go out of the way sometimes to do things above and beyond the call, you know, to make things work out. We have the words that the world needs, the love of Christ. And sometimes, yes, it costs. It costs getting up and getting out of our comfort zone to witness to somebody. You know, it takes reading the Word of God and praying over people to get the Spirit of God to move. It takes some kindness to be shown from the Christian point of view so that we can win those lost people to Christ. Many times I've found they're waiting for somebody to say something to them. And a lot of times we keep quiet, don't we? We keep our mouths shut. Well, Jesus Christ says, the sower went forth to sow. Look at verse 18. He explains the parable. Therefore, hear this parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives the word among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Now, we see not only the sower, but we see also the soil. You see, the seed, the sower is anyone who shares Christ. The seed is the truth of God's word. But we encounter the soil here in the word of God. There's four kinds of people in our church just about every Sunday. One is the calloused heart. Even today, a few years back, we got to go to Israel, and I remember on the Sea of Tiberias, we went out of off the Sea of Galilee at the Sea of Tiberias, there, whatever that city is, I'm not saying it right. Anyhow, there's a high mountain up there. And from that high mountain we walked up top, you can look off the cliff, and you can see where the paths lead from one place to the other. And Jesus Christ, when he walked on earth there, he walked those same paths. They still walk those paths today as they travel from one place to the other. Along those same paths, and you know what? Those paths become hardened. They're packed down. And I think of this as a calloused heart. The fields of the Palestinians there are crisscrossed with these hard footprints. As people would walk their way, as they would go from one place to the other. And he says here, some seed would fall and it would not grow because the soil is so packed down there that it would not take root. And I think about the calloused hearts that we have in our church today. Our hearts have become so hearing the word of God and rejecting the word of God, hearing the word of God and rejecting the word of God, hearing the word of God every Sunday after Sunday, and our hearts become so calloused that we don't even pay attention to the word of God anymore. We just come to church. We stay a little while and we go home. Some who come to church hear the Bible. They hear the word of God taught. They hear the truth of God that comes from the Bible. But you know what? For them, that's for the birds. They don't want any part of it. It goes in one ear and goes out the other. And the devil, like those birds, snatched the truth away from them so that they cannot believe anymore. They refuse to be saved. They will not understand it. They're really not interested in it. They just come because it's something to do on Sunday morning. They've always done it. And their hearts are like sometimes, you know, our hands become so calloused that we just can't hear the Word of God. It falls on deaf ears. It was spread in love, but they never get to the heart. Never get to it. People, sometimes they come to please their families. Sometimes I've known people to come because they always have. Mom and Daddy went, and we went, and it's just what we do on Sunday. Some come for companionship, to be around others, but their hearts are calloused. They're really not interested. They're unwilling to get involved. They're unwilling to change their life, you see. They go by the same old thing day after day after day. And the Bible says the word will not take root. And then there's a cowardly heart. Also, the Palestinian soil lies, if you've been over there, it's kind of like lays on the top of rock, kind of like out West Texas. It got some good soil, and then down under it, it's rock. And where the soil is good on top, then it takes root. But where it's got shallow topsoil, then it won't take root. It has no root system. And then the Bible says here, the sun scorches it. It takes root, sun scorches it. And then it dies because it has no depth in their life. And a lot of church members are like that. They have no depth. They reject the message. They don't mean business with it. They just hear it and, oh, what a privilege to hear the Word of God, but yet they don't do anything with it. The price tag may be too high. They're afraid to get involved in something. You know, whatever privilege of accepting Christ and hearing the gospel, we're to go to work. We don't just get saved to sit and sigh and soak in a pew. We go to work. We're saved to do business for Jesus Christ, to sow His word. And then it says we are to expect persecution. But we don't like that word, do we? We don't like to be made fun of. We don't like persecution. But yet the Bible says all those who preached and taught for Jesus Christ were persecuted. And the more they were persecuted, the more they spread the word. Here in America, we're not persecuted as much as anybody else in the world. So we just sit back and relax in our fine pews and our comfortable way with life. And we don't do nothing with it. And this is the sum of the parable. And the soul that loves and pampers self just endures. Only our soul rooted will built out of love and loyalty will endure. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. He wasn't ashamed. So we see the calloused heart. We've heard the gospel. We've heard the cowardly heart. We're just afraid to get involved. We see those kind of people in church. And then today I see a lot of this third soil. It's the crowded heart. Time is short. We just don't have the time, preacher, to put in that much. Everyone who does any kind of farming knows you have to deal with weeds. You have to deal with the briars. You have to deal with the critters. Someone said tonight they planted tomatoes and they didn't get to harvest them. The squirrels harvested them. Well, that's true. If the squirrels don't get them, the birds will. But, you know, you have to take time to work those things. Well, who destroys our young plants today? The old devil's there. Cowardly heart means usually our religion's just on the surface. We come to church and we take a job or two, but you know, I told someone the other night we was visiting with, I don't put people to work here till I see them live here about a year as a church member. So I can, you know, a lot of times we get somebody in our church and we throw them to work because there's not enough workers. And we put them to work and we put all the weight and pressure on them, you know, to do good at the job, and they burn out. They fall. And the first thing you know, they're out of church. Well, so many times people are offended and hurt by the gospel. Someone will say something to them and they're offended by it. Christianity is all right in its place, and they're offended by it, and they drop out of church. And we seem to fight a losing battle in our churches because of all the things going on. And our hearts are crowded out today because of a lot of times people are, our parents will talk about their kids having baseball games and soccer games and football games. And we know when the school year takes place now, they started playing on Wednesday nights, and they crowd out church all together. And you know what? We just don't have time for God, do we? And when we don't have time for God, the first thing you know, the devil comes along and he's crowded out those people of the church. But all the things going on in life, they never seem to get involved. You know what I'm talking about. Which one are you tonight? Are you the calloused heart? Are you the cowardly heart? Are you the crowded heart? I hope you're none of those. I like the last one, the converted heart. The Bible says some of the seed fell on good, rich, fertile soil. And you know, we know these kind of people. The plants begin to grow. They take root. They go to church. They read their Bible. They've studied their Bible. They know the gospel. They learn the gospel. Their priorities are right. They get involved in the church. They got good hearts. They hear the word. They hold on to it. You know the people. Maybe you're one of them tonight. And you begin to go out and witness to people, and you share the people the message. Man, I love to see our young people this time. A lot of our young people went on the missionary trip. I believe Tony's both boys went this time, and the little one, Cody, he hadn't got to go on one before, had he? But I know he was excited about going. He was so excited the other day when we were here. He was excited about going on a mission trip. And I think Tony was wondering if he'd do well, but let me tell you something. He will do well. He will come back, and he's experienced something of giving of himself to the work. And I'm just excited that most of the ones that went this time are dedicated young people. They've been in church here. They don't hit and miss. They're here when the doors are open, and I know God's going to bless them. They've got a good heart, and they're learning the Word of God, and they'll be able to share that Word. The Bible says our hearts is wicked and deceitful, and we need to realize that sin is what wants to snatch our hearts away from the Word of God. I just pray every day for our young people that they will continue to grow. They'll continue to hear the Word. They'll continue to listen to what the Word says instead of what our society or the world says. And when they get a little older, the Bible says they will take root, they will bear 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. I am so glad. I don't want to say this and sound bragging, but there's just no way to do it. I'm so proud of my boy as a missionary. I'm so proud that God has called him overseas to give his life to winning souls for Christ. You know, someone has mentioned to me several times, wonder why they're not over here making some money. You can't make enough money over there doing mission work. But you know, it's not about money. And if we had our hearts in the right place, we would understand that. It's not about money in the Christian life. It's about souls. It's about committing yourself to Christ. It's about laying up the rewards in heaven, not down here on earth. Everything you see down here, it's gone in a flash. It's over. You know, we grow up, we live, we breathe, we die. What have we left for Christ? That's what it's all about. What have you done with what God has given you? You see? Have you shared the witness? Brother Bill was telling me the other day, you know, people are being saved overseas in those communist countries, the one that we're talking about, 30-something thousand people a month, I've heard, coming to know Jesus Christ and being dedicated and committed to Him, not just joining a church, but really committed to Him. And he was telling me, Brother Bill was telling me this, I think, by 2001, there'll be more Christians in the communist country than there are communists. Now, that's what I call getting it right, folks. But here in America, where we can preach the word freely and not be persecuted, we're down. We're down in baptisms. We're down in commitment. What have you done with what you have? My challenge is to get along with God and pray and seek the eternal rewards, because the lives of others depend on it, folks. All we have to do is confess and forsake sin and commit ourselves to Christ and crown Him first place in our life. Let Him be truly Lord of our lives, not just in words that we say, but the way we live. And we'll be willing to lay all aside and go to a foreign country and go to a foreign field and plant yourself in the good soil, and you'll bear fruit, the Bible says, of a Christ-like person. You know, that's what really matters. The fruit that we bear is Christ-centered. The soil produces fruit, and it becomes the sower. So everyone that you win and tell and teach about Jesus Christ goes out and evangelizes someone else, and the evangelized people become the evangelists. Share the word in truth and love, and the truth sets men free, and that love makes others want to come to Christ and makes the word of God believable, and it never stops growing, and it continues to sow the seed, and it continues to reap the harvest. You see, not long back I was watching baseball, and one of the batters was in a slump. He wasn't hitting anything. And they were interviewing, and he said, "Well, I've always heard when you're in a slump and you're not hitting stuff, you'll never hit if you quit swinging. Just keep on swinging. And if I keep on swinging at it, not afraid if I'm going to strike out, if you're afraid you're going to strike out, you're not going to swing." He says, "Just keep swinging. And one day, you'll start hitting those balls. But if you stop swinging, you're not going to do anything." And you know what? That's right. All we as Christians, we just keep spreading the gospel. Keep on telling people about Jesus Christ. Keep on working at it. You're not going to win every person you share the gospel with. As a matter of fact, you probably won't win 1 out of 10, if you're lucky. You may not even get to share, but don't let that keep you from telling somebody about Jesus Christ. One day, when you knock on that door, you'll find a willing person behind it to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will come. You see, so many hearts have become calloused in our society. And so many of us have become unconcerned. But what we need is to keep on swinging. Keep on going and keep on going. And sooner or later, we will reap the harvest. God does the plowing, and we do the sowing. And He will bring the harvest. I love a passage of Scripture. I've said it many times. He that goeth forth weeping, beareth precious seeds, will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. What kind of soil are you tonight? Calloused? Cowardly? Or converted? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for those that have come. Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Let us get on fire for you. Let our witness go forth. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they might come and receive you as Lord and Savior. Those who need to make a decision for Christ in any way, may they come. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.